I'm too melancholy to stop this. I need you to do it.
I'm not doing an American accent there. Flip flop too much.
There's that one cowboy voice I can sometimes get. You know, the one that's like, well, gosh, darn it. You know, that kind of one. Gosh.
See, I think too much about what I'm going to say. You know?
You need something ready.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And, like, my brain is just empty 90% of the time.
We do things a little bit differently down here.
This town ain't big enough,
for the two of us. This town ain't big enough for two of us. Hear me? Do you hear me? Good afternoon, morning, evening, or night, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 372 of the Jarb Media Podcast. I'm Jamie, joined by the host with the most hat.
The biggest damn hat you ever seen.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Joined by Alex with the most hat you've ever seen.
Joined by Pisser Day.
That was never me. Like, I'm the only one that's never been Pissadick.
Well, bro, I don't know about you. I'm tired.
I'm lagging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on like a 372 ping right now. Uh-huh. I'm lagging, dude.
I don't know. Is this the cast or is this a broadcast? You should probably decide. Because we don't know when James is going to be on again.
Cast is in both names, so we can say cast and, you know, retroactively figure it out.
I guess it's like an era, an unexpected era shift. We're suddenly in broadcast for a while.
Let's wait and see.
Let's wait and see, my dude. Let's wait and see. My sweet summer child.
That was frightening.
So part of why we're so tired is because we have been in Las Vegas.
Nevada, baby!
Nevada. Hell yeah. We're in the city of dreams. The city that never sleeps.
City of fuck.
I swear the city that never sleeps is just like every city.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But especially Vegas. God damn. I don't know if we even like properly mentioned that we were going.
Nah.
On the cast.
We'd alluded to it in the past, but God, sorry for that wind. Yeah, we alluded that we were going at some point, but I don't think we specifically said when. But that is why we bulk recorded the previous episode and the one before.
Yeah,
so it feels like ages since we've recorded.
It has been a long time.
And a lot has happened, and I guess those jarlings that hate when we talk about trips or whatever, this ain't gonna be the episode for you, my friend.
But hey, stick around. You don't know what you're gonna hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might get crazy.
This is Vegas.
Yeah.
And again, bro, I don't know about you. I've never been anywhere more out of pocket, anywhere more crazy. I was trying to think of the perfect way to explain it, and I think I found it, right?
Okay.
You know how in North Korea they build like fake supermarkets to try and trick tourists into like hiding the fact that there's like a fascist government, like oppressive government going on?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but scale it up to an entire city, and instead of it trying to hide a fascist government, it's just how much money can we get from you?
It's like the most product of corruption environment that you can like live and breathe in.
Well, it's kind of like it's taking a bunch of things to its like logical extreme, isn't it? Like, of course there's at some point when you're like making cities, there's gonna be one that's gonna get the reputation for the city of like the bad shit. You know, what the city of vices.
I don't know if this is common knowledge, so for people listening, they might think, well, duh, everyone knows this. But I was talking to a family friend before coming here.
Yeah.
And he kind of touched on, like, the origins of Vegas. And apparently, like, some guy was just driving through it some rich asshole, I guess.
Yeah.
Was like driving through it, and then he stopped and he was like, I have an idea.
This is the place.
But yeah. Let's just give this a whirl and see what happens. You know, it's like, he was probably kicked out from somewhere and he did like the bender. My place is going to have blackjack and hookers.
All right, Bender from Futurama.
Yeah, yeah. And he did it. He pulled it off.
It's like,
it's crazy.
It's an ultra American thing to have like pulled off.
Yeah. But also I think it's so American that it's beyond America.
Yeah, well, we kept joking about like how cyberpunk the place is.
Mm.
It's like the most cyberpunky, and I guess we've never been to like Japan or some places like that. I'm sure that's cyberpunk, but I feel like in a different way. Because like there's the angle of cyberpunk where it is about the kind of more CD type stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't know. I haven't been to Japan, but Vegas has that in spades. The kind of CD, like the amount of out-of-pocket shit we're hearing from like taxi drivers alone.
The first taxi driver we had from the airport.
Yeah, he was like a cartoon character. He was like in a suit with like a hat.
He had like
on.
A fedora on.
Yeah, he had a fedora on.
And it was like a suit jacket, like suit, you know? So he, three-piece suit is what I'm saying. Three-piece suit, fedora, you know? He looked like he could have been in the mob. Like he was really nice.
Yeah, yeah. It was perfect for, like, the introduction. It's like the start of GTA or something.
Yeah, it genuinely
straight
felt
up.
That. Like,
yeah, yeah.
CJ getting off the plane.
Because it was, like, nighttime as well. So, and the route he took us past this perfect, like, skyline of Vegas. The whole outline. And it's like, this doesn't feel real. Like,
yeah.
Everything feels like a film set. Everything's designed to put you in this, like, haze. And I'm not exaggerating, like, I genuinely felt like I was in a six-day haze. I don't know if it was a combination of, like, the jet lag, which I'm sure played some part of it, and also, like, just the drinking and the smoking and all of that, and then pumping the oxygen into all the casinos and stuff. But there is something about it. It does put you in a weird haze where you're in a time out of time, like a place that doesn't exist. Like, the rules are different.
Yeah.
The people are different. Like, nothing is real.
It's also the most, like, multicultural place I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Like, all race, religion, creeds.
Interacted, with, like, what, Mexicans, Native Americans I saw.
Yeah. Like, to Indians.
Mm-hmm. You hear other Brits. You hear, everything.
Australian. You know, literally pick anywhere.
French. Those French guys at one of the tables. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Basically, the craziest place I've ever gone, I would say, like easily. Like I've seen some crazy things,
without a doubt.
But there's something about it's the scale of it.
Well, that's because I was saying to you when we got back, like, because when we arrived, I was immediately put into almost like an anxiety, like this is too much.
Right.
There's too much information for my brain to be absorbing.
I was scared of that before going.
Yeah, like honestly, by the time, like, the night had ended and I was going to sleep, like, I was used to it. It was fine. But in those first moments, it's like, Jesus Christ. And in the inverse, when we got back, like, driving into Wiltshire, it's like, this is, like, tiny.
Oh, it's so, like,
we're in the
quaint.
Wilderness.
So quaint in comparison, yeah. Whereas, like, just we stayed in the Virgin Hotel. Like, right there on the strip. And I guess, I don't know, when you plan a trip with Adam YMS, like, he loves organizing it, and I hate doing that kind of thing, and I'm shit at it. So, like, a lot of what I saw and what he'd organized, I was like, this sounds awesome, perfect.
Mm.
Like, I did some research on the hotel and whatnot, but just being there is different. When you go through the doors, and they're like these elaborate, huge doors with big crystals on them. And it's like so decadent. And so, like, I feel like, oh, man, I just don't belong here. but that's nice to experience every now and again. And with every casino being like every enormous building is a hotel casino, which we learned pretty quick. Like, and we must have gone to 10 plus casinos.
Easily. I reckon we probably did around 10 in one day.
Like, yeah, we're doing an average of like 20,000 steps a day. sometimes more for the whole 6 days, pretty much. So yeah, it was exhausting and we were busy, but I was glad for it. I feel like we got to experience a real good slice of it. But I think what I would take away from the 6 day stretch we would do, I feel like in my heart, 3 days would be perfect in Vegas. You know, it's enough time to see a show, do a bit of gambling, enjoy a bit of the excess, then maybe head on over to the Grand Canyon and head to a different state, maybe fly somewhere else in America, do it that way.
I'm glad for my first Vegas experience I had 6 days, though.
We also had the luxury, though, of being in, like, a group of people that know Vegas and were, like, taking us around to, like, cool spots and, like, here's that restaurant, here's Wahlburgers, here's the Taco Bell you can order booze from, here's, like, all the crazy Vegas things you, like, have to see, and here's, like, a good recommendation for a bar, here's where you can get a hot dog and a beer for $2, that, like, we would just never know if, you know, we weren't.
And those hot dogs were, like, good glizzies. Decent glizzies.
They were damn good. For $1?
For $1. Because the beer is $1.
Pabst.
The Pabst.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, I hate that word.
Pabst.
It's so awkward. But yeah, so huge thank yous to Adam, for sure.
Hell
for
yeah, yeah. Like, he's... Yeah, I've done a few trips with him now, and each time it's just amazing. He's a very experienced traveler.
And so just an all-round lovely man.
Yeah, so it was your first time meeting him in person, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was all kind of converging with this, like, furry convention that was going on in Vegas, which I'd say we kind of popped our little toe into. Well, how did you find that?
Well, see... You'd already experienced of
Adam. Yeah, he took me to one in Seattle, which I'm told is like the worst one or something. That's what all the other furries were telling me. Yeah, because they can get asking like all questions about these different cons and stuff. They can get as big as like what are they saying, like 14,000-15,000 people, and some of them in these like really remote hotels in America, where they like they just take over like an entire town or city pretty much, and that's kind of what had happened at this hotel suite where this con was, where I'd never seen a hotel quite like it, again with the scale, where it wasn't like built up, it was built kind of like a neighborhood
more so. it was like a neighborhood of flats.
Yeah, so the vibe I seem to get only from the small little toe I've dipped in to this world is that the con really isn't that important. It's more the event that everyone is coming to meet for, and it's more about, like, the hotel room parties and, like, socializing.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone meeting up over this thing.
Well, I guess it's, like, any sort of con, like, the same as Comic-Con to a degree, where it's, like, it's... You can go there and just know that you're going to meet like-minded people.
Yeah, you feel like you're safe and in a safe environment, I guess, to
free of like any like criticism or like the social norms are almost flipped on their head in that regard to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there aren't many communities more like chastised than the furry community.
Yeah, and I had some real good conversations with some furries about that.
Yeah.
If it bothers them, if there are some unexpected kind of shields that actually come from that being the case, and this kind of thing. It's just like a subculture that's so interesting to me. It's like my little slice I've experienced of it. Everyone's been just so nice.
Yeah, that's the key part of it. Because the easy knee-jerk reaction is to have that criticism and be like, how can these people do this? But like, I mean, well, I didn't have a single negative interaction with anyone there.
Yeah, me neither. And like they do these like quirky things with these room parties, right? Like I wound up in one that was it was all Fallout themed. The theme of the con, I guess, was like desert apocalypse, Mad Max,
New Vegas,
being in Vegas,
because yeah, obviously being set in Vegas. And they just went in, had a full bar, just making drinks for people completely for free, just holding up these like $60 bottles of like spirits and just like liberally pouring it and just like having a good time, not giving a fuck, just like making these crazy drinks like that were thematic as well. Like,
yeah, I'd happily do that anywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm. Like, I missed out on that because the part of this trip that we haven't mentioned yet is that I had a perfect timing.
I know.
A wisdom tooth infection, which I got pills for the day of the flight.
Your antibiotics, like, yeah.
So we arrive in Vegas at what time? Like 10 at night?
Yeah. Our bodies thought it was like, what, midday or something?
I think it was like 6 a.m.
or 6 a.m.
for our bodies. Because the clocks changed in England while we were away. Yeah, so the time difference increased.
When we come back.
So, yeah, not only were we jet lagged, because then we stayed up till like 2 in the morning with Adam, like going to casinos and stuff. Oh. 2, 3 in the morning. So jet lagged with an infection and boozing. I had to call,
and every environment like is smoking indoors, and like you never have an excuse to stop smoking pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a non-smoker would go to Vegas and like come back with a cough, you know.
Yeah, pick up a nicotine, like, a slight nicotine.
Yeah, you just get a little bit irritated all the time, and you don't know if it's the losses on gambling. Or...
And even those nights you had to retire early, I wasn't far behind you with the jet lag. Like,
mm-hmm.
And it was just like a different type of tiredness, where you're like, normally I'd be able to like power through some kind of tiredness, but this is like, I'm just gone.
your body is so, because I've had it back home for the past couple of days, your body is so confused.
Yeah.
Like it's getting daylight when it shouldn't, mm-hmm. and it's like the signals are just fucked.
Uh-huh.
You know, your body doesn't know what to tell you to do. So then like you're just permanently in this grey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we managed to at least have one night where we like basically didn't sleep, and like it was awesome. That moment where we were in a casino in Old Town. Fremont. Was it Fremont? How do you say
Fremont?
Yeah. Fremont. Where there was a cool casino there that we'd frequented a few nights. We got a good cheap $5 table, and every seat was taken up like by our crew.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this rocks. And we're just there for like, man, I must have been there for like 4 or 5 hours. Like,
yes.
And to not I only made money that night too. And it was like the last night, and it was like, this is perfect. You're just getting drink after drink.
Mm-hmm.
Just...
Yeah, making money.
Chatting, making money. Bees,
being with friends. Like, it rocked. We were getting pretty lucky there. We were pissing off, like, the dealer. The various dealers. Because we were going through, like, a roulette of these same, like, 3 or 4 dealers. Because they switch every, like half hour or something. Mm-hmm. And because we were sat there for so long, it just kept going round. And like they were clearly getting like annoyed because like...
You're supposed to lose.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to lose. And a bunch of us were just making the wrong plays and winning.
Yeah. Like it shouldn't have been working.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting like to leave and then for some like mob boss to come and kick my teeth in.
It was the splits, wasn't it? It kept splitting.
Yeah.
And it just kept working out in, like, just these ridiculous ways.
Yeah, and doubling down in the wrong places and, like, just doing shit that shouldn't have worked, but it did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I mean, the whole thing was awesome. It's, like, overwhelming even trying to organize my memories of all this stuff. Luckily, I did put some notes of, like, the major things. Let's try and go in a loose kind of chronological order. Let's talk about this escape room we did.
Mm.
We did an It Chapter 2 themed escape room. I don't think you've ever done an escape room before, have you?
No. Too stressful.
I'd done one, like, Doctor Who themed one in 2019, I think, in Birmingham, which was, like, cute. But this one's like on a completely different scale. I guess that's kind of the Vegas thing you figure out pretty quick. It's like everything they do there is...
Yeah. They got to outdo everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think of that Peter Gabriel song, Big Time. It's like the city he's describing in that.
Yeah, so this... It was like a horror escape room as well.
Like,
I've never done an escape room, and my first one was a horror escape room. What I did like was that, like, we had characters with us.
Yeah, yeah, we had, like, all of the stereotypes, kind of.
Yeah. I don't know if they were, like, characters from the... I've not seen the movie, so I don't know if they were, like, based off of characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so at least one was.
Okay.
I didn't recognize, like, the other ones. But the context of the movie didn't really matter that much outside of the joining hands and chanting stuff.
Uh-huh.
Without the context, that might have been a bit confusing. And a couple of people in the group commented on that. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie. There was extra... I didn't really get scared. And Adam did say that the part one escape room is a lot scarier.
Mm-hmm.
But they did get me a couple of times. There were a few, like, tense environments. Like, I'd never been in a hall of mirrors before.
Yeah, that was the standout to me.
There's a moment, they pump in the fake... smoke stuff.
Dry ice
stuff. So you can't see anything, and you're kind of funneled into the hall of mirrors, and it's so disorienting. And like, there's a clown like chasing you and screaming at you.
Yeah.
And there was like a couple of like funny movie moments where like the clown was about to grab me, and
that's right. Yeah, this he fella was like reaching through, like,
just pushed me out the way in time, and he's like, just saved you from the clown. And having one member of the group had clown has a clown phobia.
Uh-huh.
So like that added like another layer of like
yeah, because we were fine until we got to like the clown room, and it was bound to happen. Like,
of course it was gonna happen at some point.
Yeah, we got to the clown room, so he checked out. We kind of had like our characters.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, losing a character in like, each bit, like someone getting scared.
Adam's boyfriend was being hilarious. Like, he was like so on edge. He's like jumping out of his skin. Yeah, the actors like got me with the. For each two or three rooms, you'd be with like kind of a guide. Yeah, as you say, who's kind of playing a character.
Yeah,
and they'll like, there'll be a point where they swap over to the next one, and in that sequence, this girl just came running out screaming, and I think I was at the front of like the group, so. Oh man, she got me good. And I was like, what? Yeah. But I find I don't get as scared of these things that I know. I don't know. It's kind of like with movies where that I know at a certain degree I can intellectualize my way out. None of it's
but also,
actually real.
I think Adam especially, but you as well.
Yeah.
Both having that like calm, chill. I mean, like, especially Adam. Like, he was so just chill, matter of fact. Like, let's get these answers. Let's get he was on a mission. In a real horror movie, like if I was in a situation like that, I'd want to be with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he'd just be like, let's figure it out. You know? But I think if I was in a group of people who were susceptible to that sort of thing, I would like feed off of their terror. And be way more on edge.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I had to take more of a lead, or if like I was imagining having to like do that by myself, I would have been terrified.
That would be really scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the whole idea is, I guess, it's testing your communication and your
It's like a teamwork.
Yeah, team building thing. Exercise. It was fun. I'm curious about. Adam really recommended the Saw one and the It Chapter One. I think a Saw one would be really, that could be like really funny.
Yeah.
Really fun. And silly.
Yeah, so that was a good time.
What else did we do? Went to Sugar Factory. That was crazy. It's
We had the SpongeBob burgers.
We did have the SpongeBob burgers.
Not like the ones when he makes his own burgers, all the different colors.
So I had like. again, I saw like that we were going to Sugar Factory, and I didn't really put two and two together, but I had heard of it before. It's like a famous place in Vegas that like loads of celebrities go to, and it's like in episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and shit like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, because there were photos of celebrities.
There were like photos everywhere. All over the walls.
Snoop
and,
Dogg
like,
was really happy.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of like Sundays.
And yeah, it was Adam's boyfriend's birthday, and he really wanted to go there. And he got this drink. Most cursed drink maybe I've ever seen. Enormous glass, which, speaking of dry ice, they like poured some version of dry ice in, and it's like blue, full of like gummy worms, like all like soaked in like, was it rum?
I think it
some
was
spirit.
Vodka.
Yeah. and it looked extremely strong. I tasted it. It tasted kind of like gummies. It was one of those danger drinks, you know, where it's like, this is so strong,
it's
but it's
go
just so sweet. Yeah, it's going
to
go straight to my head. Luckily, it did some, like, savory stuff, because I didn't really... I don't know, I didn't want, like, sugary starts to my day when I'm doing all that walking and stuff. I need something that's going to sustain me a little bit more. So, we had the burgers, had the...
But, like, the colourful burgers, I showed a picture to my partner, and she was like, ugh. Looks disgusting.
And that was part of it to me, though, was like, I'm here for the excess of this. If I'm not here for the excess, what am I even doing here?
But also, no joke, they were delicious.
They were good.
The like purple,
the
green, blue burgers, delicious.
They were the standout.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. And then I guess I'd never tried like Jello shots before. They're horrible. Adam would like keep buying them. Maybe this flavor won't suck.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, that little hint of watermelon, that's quite nice. Oh no, it's just like 90% vodka.
Yeah.
And you gotta swallow this like viscous jelly.
Let's go back to the casinos for a little minute. And just like, when you find the right one and then you get into that casino meta, there is something danger about that. Time goes, you're getting drunker and drunker with these free drinks.
Dude, I get it. I get it now.
I get it.
I didn't get it before going. I get it. I 100% get it.
Yeah. We both kept talking about, like, we don't really have the bug, but we can feel that pull.
Yeah.
We can feel that pull, especially with watching Adam and the way he plays.
Yeah, that was like the most stressful.
He's getting his crazy plays, and I'm like getting stressed for him. It's not even my money on the line.
But
I'm
again,
getting stressed.
Chill as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like the definition of stoic. But yeah, I just had so much fun just sat at those tables. Like it, I can imagine going to Vegas as like a kid and finding a casino so boring. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the idea of sat at like a table where someone's dealing cards and people move chips, but like we never did any high stakes shit by any means.
No.
We kept it.
No, because that's what I mean about the casino meta is like, you want to be staying at least even with what you're gambling, at least. But even if you're losing 40-50 bucks, you want to at least have gotten the drinks to have added up to buying those drinks.
Yeah, which in Vegas is really easy because like two drinks is like $60.
Yeah, so I was enjoying, it's like layers to it at that point. And yeah, you have like, oh, it's so addictive. Like the tickets,
especially when you get a dealer with the perfect like banter level.
Because sometimes we'd like meet up at different times in the day, so sometimes we'd have like a few hours to kill or whatever. So we'd just chill in the casino and attached to our hotel. And yeah, there were one or two dealers there that were characters, especially this one guy.
What was his name?
Oh, I can't remember his name.
I remember reading it multiple times, but...
Was it like Lou or something like that? I feel like it was one syllable.
I think there was a different guy called Lou.
Well, yeah, older, met so many different people, it's hard to...
Yeah.
Let's keep it all straight. But
yeah, this one guy, it was like a stand-up routine for him. Like, he was just throwing out one-liners.
Because that was something, like, I hadn't considered till I was there. And literally, like, the second we started talking to locals, I started asking questions, like... So, do you live here? Like, how long have you lived here? And, like, the taxi driver was like, been here 35 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I guess people do live here, huh? Because I guess it's cheap.
Yeah, apparently
like,
so.
Like, rent is cheap.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could do that, personally, like, live there.
Yeah, especially live there for 35 years, and the guy was, like, 60-odd, he told us. And he looked, like, 40s, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know what his skin routine is, he's got a shirt.
Yeah, so he lives in the desert, in Sin City.
Yeah.
Booze, drugs.
Yeah.
Prostitution.
Uh-huh. And we know he liked his prostitution, because he was pointing out how to get, like, which massage parlors to get happy endings from. Like, yeah, no yeah. shit, like, he was saying that.
Yeah, he was like, keep your money in your room so you don't spend much on gambling, and then, yeah. like, at nighttime, just go bang whores. Like, that was his Vegas method. Yeah. Like
another
no
taxi
joke.
We got in, and this guy just, I don't know where he's, like, looking for a snow bunny tonight.
Yeah.
We didn't say shit, and he's just, that's
on Easter.
Oh, fuck, I didn't even...
It was together. Easter Sunday, he said that. Yeah.
That's even funnier.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have tipped him more.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Fuck me. But yeah, there's just like this overbearing kind of seediness to the whole place.
Yeah, and it's... You can't know without experiencing it. Like...
Yeah, because you see it in The Hangover, you see it in all these movies mm-hmm. and referenced in all these stories and whatnot. But yeah, it's nothing can capture it. The scale, the feeling, the weird head rushes you get from that oxygen every like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's completely surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And like painting the ceilings to look like skies. One second you're like in Italy and there's like gondolas. And then the next minute you're in Paris. Under the Eiffel Tower, and it's like, what is even going on? As you're getting like more drunk, more high, more just like, it's just mad.
Hyperventilating more from yeah. the oxygen.
Yeah. With the like mad American food, whatever they be putting in. Like all this like weird stuff we're learning about, like.
The iodized salt.
Iodized salt. It's just like, what is this place? I was happy I didn't get heartburn once. That was cool.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. I genuinely like really anticipating that.
That's kind of the one thing I associate with America is heartburn.
And Adam did take us to the Heart Attack Grill. Just have a look.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't really convince us.
He kind of did the opposite.
Yeah, he was like, the food sucks. It's just all about the excess, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they like spank you if you can't finish your food. And so I don't know if I want to pay for them to get me. we shows incredible. Cirque du Soleil. I keep forgetting like which version it was called or whatever. It was
in the MGM.
Yeah, it integrates this like enormous hydraulic platform,
mm-hmm.
Which can only be performed in Vegas, whereas like Cirque. I guess is in different places, comes from Montreal,
right? Yeah, it comes from Canada.
Which they do in a tent. But in Vegas, obviously, going back to that scale thing, it has to be the most, like, insane, biggest thing you've ever seen. And it kind of was. Like, there are points where, like, again, with nothing feeling real, it was like watching a dream. You're, like, in almost like a trance, because it's like, this is so insane. Like, this is so incredible.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm seeing.
The spectacle of it.
And it's like all these different disciplines and types of artistry coming together with the engineering of this platform,
yeah.
with the timing of everything and like the staging, with the strength of all of the performers, with all the acrobatics, with the timing of the music and like different and the, elements yeah, the, of the music being the like some of it being performed live and yeah, the musicians mm-hmm. and then having singing as well. They're like singing live and it's just like, it's like an overwhelming display of like talent, really.
Yeah.
And
you just know it's a bunch of people who have dedicated their life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To like this.
Yeah, it's completely just incredible. That like blew my mind.
Yeah, I imagine any, because I've been to a circus before, not that long ago. I think it was like last year. And I saw some pretty impressive stuff there. But, like, this thing in Vegas. And I'm sure every Cirque du Soleil...
I'm sure each show is incredible. And yeah, because they had like Beatles ones. I'm sure that Beatles one is cool.
Yeah. So I reckon if you get the opportunity to check that out, like, it's a no-brainer.
I liked, like, there was kind of a theme and a narrative going on. I didn't really get what the story was, but it didn't really matter because each, like, scene was so expressive in one way or another, and you could like pick up the emotion of what they were doing. There was like a weirdly that there was kind of a more quaint part of the show where this woman just with these batons is just going nuts. As far as the scale compared to all the other parts of it, it is kind of smaller, but like the music that it was timed to and everything was like, this is like, it's not really emotional about this.
Yeah. For me, the like hand puppets in front of the light, like it's like the most simple. It must be one of the oldest forms of performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you can like imagine cavemen doing it.
It's like a little character moment where like there's no big action scene, no big bombastic moment. It's just two characters sitting down trying to kill some time, doing these extremely elaborate shadow puppetry.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it's like straight up beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so like varied and you never know where it's going next. And it's, it does that thing you want to see in like action movies and stuff where they just keep outdoing it itself. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's... And when it peaks, it ends. And it's like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah.
What an experience.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. And I'll be kind of surprised if I ever do again, honestly.
Yeah. And the other kind of big show we saw was we had to go to the Sphere.
Yeah, of course.
We had to check it out because Darren Aronofsky, director of like Black Swan, The Wrestler, Noah.
he did Noah.
Yeah. He put together this like special... Sorry for the audio listeners, by the way. My hat, I keep smacking it into the mic because it's such a big hat. But yeah, he's put together this specially made film for the Sphere, which is, it's like a big dome with a screen, a high quality screen, kind of encasing the entire outside and inside of this big dome. And there's this, the experience, I guess, that Darren put together is this kind of, it's kind of a high concept, like sci-fi thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for like the first 10 minutes, I was like, I don't know what this is about. But it basically turns into two sci-fi humans on a spaceship that have come out of cryo freeze, and now it's time to catch them up on what Earth is, because they don't really know, and I guess they're like terraforming or something.
Yeah, they can't remember because they were asleep for so long.
Yeah, so then it kind of shifts into sort of like a montage of big landscape shots of places on Earth for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
The aspect ratio kind of envelops the entire sphere.
I thought that was really cool where it starts like a cinema screen.
Yeah.
And then it starts zooming into the Earth. And that...
Yeah.
But it turns into more that Earth is just coming at you and it like comes out of the cinema screen.
And it really tricks your brain when you're flying over the Grand Canyon or a desert or over a city or whatever, like it gives you that kind of roller coaster rush feeling.
Yeah.
Especially combined with, like, they got these big wind machines that are blasting air and whatnot, like, timed with what's happening on screen.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool, especially when it was focusing on, like, the environment and the animals. I thought that was sick. I guess I didn't really even feel the need for the whole, like, framing of the sci-fi people, and it kind of turns into this environmental message, and then... when it gets too dire, it's like, nope, we're gonna just quickly make this really cheery because this has to be for families type thing. It's got this like really
sappy... can't have an actual message because it's like for a product.
But as far as like the what that screen can accomplish is something I guess I've never experienced before. It kind of made me think about like, you know, movies where they put the headset on and then they're like there.
Yeah.
You know, like they put the headset on and they're in the desert. It kind of felt like the closest analog to something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It to me, it kind of felt like that same moment when I first put on my VR headset. It was like, oh, we can, like, do this sort of thing now.
Yeah.
Where, like, I just totally believe it.
There is like, a tech flex element to it. And I feel like there's a lot you could do as far as, like, putting on a performance. Like, I think seeing live music there could be extremely cool with the right band. Because it's only you two and this Darren Aronofsky thing that is playing there for, like, ages now.
I think we made the right choice.
Yeah, I don't really care about you two, but maybe if there was one day a band playing there, of which there was some cool ones I saw signs for, like Gary Numan was playing, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard had signs up, and I was like, ah, the dates didn't line up, but that would have been cool. Top Golf and Atomic Golf. I'd seen a bunch of, like, I guess, like, shorts and TikToks of people at Top Golf, but I'd never put two and two together that that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a Vegas driving range. And it's like Vegas' spin on a driving range.
Because Top Golf is like a countrywide thing, right?
Yeah.
Top Golf itself. Yeah. So it's kind of like a bowling alley, but golf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got the same like vibe.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Like, it's something I would like do often. I think.
It's like, a good
as a hangout.
It's good
spot.
Like activity to hang out at. Yeah. Get some drinks, maybe a little snack or something.
I think that's an aspect about living in a place like Vegas that would be cool, where, like, instead of going to a pub and it's cool to have a chat and stuff, but, like, being guys just being dudes, like, you want to be, like, doing something.
Yeah.
It's why, like, playing video games like Smash Bros. Or whatever is, like, a good time, because you're, like, chatting while doing something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, like, so
the stakes aren't too high. It's just like a bit of fun. That was nice. We did the competitor to Top Golf, Atomic Golf, which is fairly similar. But they had, like, I didn't actually get to use it in the end. It was like a machine gun that fires golf
balls.
It was
like a golf ball cannon.
Extremely American idea. But
make it a gun. And it's just there. Because it can be. Like, there's no, like, game or anything to do with it. It's just so you can shoot a golf ball out of a gun.
Yeah. Any other major things you want to throw out? I don't want to miss any other bits. I'd forgotten, I guess, that Derek Savage lives in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And wound up meeting with someone who used to work with Derek and has some interesting conversations about that. I'll save that for now. Lots of, like, we've talked a lot about, like, American roads, right, and American cars and stuff.
We've actually specifically complimented their grid system.
Yeah, I take it all back.
Yeah.
But bro, if you're not in a car, getting around sucks. Like,
even if you're in a car.
Well, yeah, true. Like, the way it's done, it's like, I get so frustrated by it, because we've solved this problem over here. Like, we've solved it. You put a circle. You put a circle and you give way to the right, I guess it'll be left in America. Problem solved. Why are you sitting there for like 5 minutes? Everyone, like, you're walking in a straight line and it's great. You know? But it's like, oh no, I've got to cross the road twice. Well, there's half an hour gone.
Like, not even joking.
Yeah, just straight up.
One of the nights I had to, So the hotel we were staying in and the hotel Adam was staying in were in
with no traffic. England. You could walk there in probably 3 minutes.
Yeah. But on the other side of both of the hotels, because there was like a cross junction, I guess they'd call it,
An intersection.
So that. In three separate parts of the intersection was each hotel and a pharmacy. And I needed to get some salt water, like, mouthwash for my infection. Which meant I had to cross one road and then another road and then the diddy other road between those two yeah. to get to the pharmacy to then go back across the Diddy Road and then across the road to the hotel. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. 5 times I had to cross the road.
I got very familiar with that little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you're... We must have spent like 5 hours there in total because it's just insane.
So stupid.
So that whole thing to get from these two locations that 3 minutes apart with, again, if there was no traffic, it would be a 2 minute diversion.
Yeah.
That must have taken me like near half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Plus because I asked the person in the pharmacy if they had sea salt. And the person I asked didn't know what sea salt is.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I understand that I've got an accent.
Yeah.
Like a foreign accent.
Yeah.
So I think she was hung up on the way I said salt.
Salt.
You got any sea salt?
Then.
Sea salt.
Do you have any sea salt?
I guess because I wasn't pronouncing the T.
Salt?
Salt. Salt.
Sea
salt? Sea salt. And she was like,
right,
see, huh? So funny. She was very confused, and so the way I described that was like, you know, see the ocean salt put on your fries.
Mm.
And she was still confused, so I guess she didn't know. Okay. I mean, like, you live in a desert, fair enough, so you don't know what the ocean is. But eventually, like, we figured it out and I got some.
There are a few of those funny, like, culture clash moments where it's like, yeah, I was asked if I was Australian a bunch of times. Whenever I had to try and explain, like, where we're from in the UK.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go through, like, a system of, like, saying, yeah, we're kind of near Stonehenge. No American knows where Stonehenge is. We're in... Wiltshire. No one knows where Wiltshire is. I don't know. We're kind of near London. Oh, yeah. London. Yeah. I know London.
It's all England's got, man. Like,
no one knows anything else.
Yeah.
Like.
But yeah, it wasn't that they didn't know where Stonehenge was. So a lot of them didn't know what it is.
Know
that, was a thing.
Yeah.
Which to me is kind of crazy. Like,
yeah, but do we know it more because it's like our one?
Stonehenge is like world famous.
Well, yeah,
it's like a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm
just trying to give any benefit of the doubt, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess when you got like Mount Rushmore and shit, like, it's more impressive.
True.
Big faces. You know, it's taken ages.
We saw a dancing cowboy. Last night, that was pretty cool.
That was awesome. It was this like, like dad band,
yeah,
playing like the classic American songs.
But no one else was dancing.
No one was dancing until the cowboy got out.
This guy with his hat and all of it, the white hat. Literally doing all this shit. It's like, this is hilarious.
He was really going in as well.
Yeah, he was. He was probably wasted.
I think he was carrying the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Yeah, we stumbled across this. It was kind of like a cowboy shop.
Yeah.
Like, just by complete accident. So we're like, we got to go in. We got to.
Yeah. Left wing, nah. Right wing, nah. Backbone.
And it's like all the people in there were the exact type you'd expect, right? Like the store owners and stuff. Like.
Mm-hmm.
The exact attire you'd imagine. I was kind of like,
yeah,
gawking at everything. Like, oh my god, I've never seen so many hats. I've never seen so many boots. And you like go around the corner and there's like little cowboy boots for like babies. It's like, this is this is hilarious.
Yeah, and like the boot with the American flag
and, like,
on it.
Yeah, and all these like cowboy jackets. With,
dude,
like...
I wouldn't shop anywhere else. If I lived there, like. Man, all of my clothes would come from there. They were badass. They were so cool.
The jackets were very cool.
The jackets were
cool.
They
were straight up just Arthur Morgan jackets.
Like they had jeans and stuff, and I bet they're good ass jeans.
Yeah.
And the hats,
and like,
awesome.
Some of the jackets had like branding on them with like a little cardboard gun.
Yeah.
And you like look at it and it's like, special pocket just for your gun.
Yeah. So I don't even like have a gun, but I'd want that jacket.
It's hilarious.
It's so,
yeah,
it's so cool.
So I thought, yeah, this hat would be a cool souvenir, put it on the wall or something. Yeah,
yeah, I got a little hat to display.
Yeah,
but like speaking of the guy at the shop, say what you will about Americans, man, but like they know how to interact, especially in that. The like back and forth customer,
yeah,
to
customer you. Service,
yeah,
broadly,
yeah.
Just, oh yeah, it shits all over us straight up.
Yeah, we're fucking awful at it. We're terrible.
We are cold.
Yeah,
we are so fucking cold.
Yeah, like from both sides, because like when we went to Chick-fil-A twice.
Yeah, once for breakfast, once for like the burger. Yeah.
And like I'm preparing when I go into a fast food place to have like the British McDonald's experience.
Yeah, where it's like you're a subhuman, like,
yeah, it's minimal human contact, and when you get it, it's like a glance and like maybe an okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what you get. But like, I walk into Chick-fil-A, and like it's almost like they want to talk to you.
I know.
It's really peculiar.
Yeah, yeah. that's quite a culture shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you asked if I'm having a good day? Huh?
Yeah. I had multiple just like nice little conversations or interactions with people. Yeah. Just more time, I guess, to...
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from or like what it is.
It feels like a camaraderie. It's really... Oh. Like, one of the times I was walking back to the hotel by myself, someone did something stupid in a car right by the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And this old dude was like, "What the hell are you doing, you stupid?" Like, I'm not going to do the accent. He was like, "What are you doing, you idiot?" Like, these guys. And he was saying to this person walking past him. And then he looked at me and he was like, "Did you see that? These crazy people." And I was like, "Yeah, idiot.
What a dumbass."
Yeah,
it's like, more like expressive.
Yeah,
I feel like we hold a lot of stuff in, at least in the, you can't say the same about the north of England, but the where we reside, we're very just like, I'm gonna hold this in and like never show it to anyone. Until it's like breaking point.
Yeah,
you know, and like, you scream at someone on the tube or whatever. Yeah, that was interesting. Loads of really cool cars, though. Loads of cool-ass cars. Way cooler. Saw some, like, sick
old
muscle cars.
New.
Yeah, like...
Ridiculous amount of muscle cars.
Mm.
And young people driving them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the weirdest
bit. Like,
that
guy literally looks like 17 years old driving, like, a Dodge. Like, what is his fucking story? Jesus.
Yeah. And then you look to the other side of the road, and there's another one.
Yeah,
another
17-year-old. Uh-huh. Nearly got squashed by a couple trucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mega trucks.
Yeah, when they're like 20 feet off.
Yeah, and everyone's so impatient as well at these intersections. Uh-huh. They're like looking for their little gap. It's like, man, it's so fucking stressful. It's shitty. Man, I just want to make sure I don't forget anything. Any other things come to your mind, bro? We saw a couple of cyber trucks. That was cringy.
Should probably mention the trash room, right?
Yeah, the trash party. So one of the nights, I guess when it must have been like 10 o'clock or something, 10 p.m.
Uh-huh. Shit was starting to get a bit rowdy.
Shit was getting
on.
Yeah, yeah. And Adam was kind of just like walking around with us in a group, just seeing what was going on.
Yeah, I think it was my first, that day was my first experience.
Yeah, and we're just kind of walking around this area, going around some pools and seeing what's up. And it's just this guy there, and he's like,
he like runs out.
Yeah, he like sprints out. He's like, the trash party's over here.
Well, he doesn't even say that. He was like, guys, there's trash.
That's
there's trash.
Right.
Come with me. Come and see the trash. And like, my knee jerk to that is like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, trash. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to see it now.
And I'm glad we did, because like methodically and systematically, this room had been covered in like clean trash,
like cardboard.
Yeah. just, I guess, from a bunch of, like, Amazon parcels and stuff, they've just saved all this cardboard so that on this one night Vegas...
It was full of, like, just cardboard.
Yeah. There were people, like, rolling around. Like, two fridges just full of booze.
Just, like, crack open a beer and I'm like, this is crazy.
Not just this is crazy, like, this rocks.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I saw this.
I was just having, like, so much fun.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some other anecdotes, but I'm struggling to pull at them. Because I was told, like, stories of, like, some of the stuff people do, like, the elaborate nature. Like, some of the things that people turn their hotel rooms into. Like, they bring in, like, a full DJ setup.
Yeah, we saw that one room on the penultimate night. That had just, like, turned into a nightclub.
Yeah, then, like, completely kitted out. Like, blasting music.
Yeah, they had, like, a alcoholic punch, like, section. Unfortunately, like, they had ran out of booze because it was so popular.
Yeah, like, apparently people set up, like, slushy machines. Yeah. And, like, pour booze in them and make, like, boozy slushies. It's just, like, so much fun.
Yeah, I didn't realize that community goes, like, so hard with it's like about the partying, which I never knew before this experience.
I rate it. It was a crazy trip, like, one I'll never forget for sure. Holy shit. It's just a mad place. A couple culture shock moments, like, obviously, we're bringing up the guns subject a few times with some Nevada locals, with some Americans. Because it's like a nice mix of, like, some Americans, some Canadians, us Brits just thrown in there.
Yeah.
So you get all these different perspectives, and, like, we had a moment when we were talking about guns, and the energy kind of went down. It was like... Yeah, it's always a good idea to know your exits, and if shots start firing, like, get down on the ground and crawl, because it's a better chance. And it's like, oh my god.
Well, yeah,
it's not really something that's ever on my mind as a UK resident. Maybe occasionally in London if you're there for, like, a big event or something, but, like, for the most part, that's not something that's on my mind. I'm not thinking about, like, my cousins having to fear something like that happening at school or something.
Yeah. I don't know how long I could put up with that in the back of my mind. Like,
yeah, that would mess with me.
We were waiting in a queue at some point, and I caught myself, like, looking around to see, like...
Yeah.
Is there anywhere where someone could, like, hold up and just... go for it? It's a weird thing to have a realistic thought about.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess the statistical odds are low, but it's still just, like...
Way higher than here.
Man, I don't feel this when I'm in Canada, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, or anywhere else that I have been in my life.
So yeah.
But do still check out Vegas if you ever can. Like, I would... I don't know who I was saying it to, but, like, I'd happily... go back in, like, a decade or two to see the further evolution of it, because stories I've heard about it from other people who have been, like, 10 years ago or whatever, it's like the progress since then is insane.
Well, like, our parents went, I think, in the 80s.
Yeah.
And that, like, we were showing them pictures, and they were like, yeah, this is, like, so different. It's like 40 years of tech, of these LED lights, all this... So much has changed.
Yeah.
So, like, when they went, it must have been, like, Old Town was more like New Town, probably. Yeah, it's very weird. But very exciting.
It is very exciting.
So we have a choice now, bro. We can wrap this up and just have this be the Vegas episode, which I'd be happy to do. We could save these questions and just do a bumper next week, which I'd be fine with.
Yeah, we could do a questions one.
I think we're both pretty tired.
Yeah.
And anyway, if you need any more jar, there's a last episode was pretty long. See,
so. Yeah, go finish.
Just have another loop of that, and by the time you're done with that, there'll probably be another one anyway.
Mm.
So yeah, sorry for those people that hate the travel ones, but
tough.
Yeah, tough. Sorry. Sometimes some of the episodes are for you, some are for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to, in 5 years, go and listen to this and be like, oh, that random detail from the trip. Yeah. That I hadn't thought.
The dancing cowboy.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. I forgot about the trash party. Yeah.
Then it'll all come flooding back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we're done here, my bro.
What's bye-bye in cowboy?
Ciao for
Take
now.
Take it easy. Is that what they say?
That's what I say.
Take it easy.
I had to remove take it ease from my, like...
Take it ease.
I used to... That's like an Italian-American thing that I heard.
Take it ease.
Hey, take it ease. I thought it sounded cool when the guy said it, but I realized when I say it, people just get confused. They're like, what?
Oh, they didn't pick up what
take
you
it
mean.
Ease. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because ease is a word.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
you're freaking right.
Yeah, I'm freaking people out with that one. Anyway, take it easy.